And welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show, where today we have one of our own. Not only is he the head men's and women's tennis coach, he lives in Hackensack. He was born, he grew up in Summit, went to Rhode Island, and he's really the most interesting man on campus for me. His name is Jeff Brandis, the head men's and women's coach of Fairleigh Dickinson University Tennis. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you.
The reason I say most interesting man is because you've just got this look that when you go back and forth to your, it looks like you're going to your laboratory in your office across from mine, and you're very, you have the McEnroe look. You have this, like, focused, and, like, as coworkers, we don't always know a lot about each other, but we just kind of know each other. So I'm really, really excited to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me. It's awesome to be here.
And we're having you for a lot of reasons, and we should have had you on a while ago. 2016, you won the NEC Women's Tennis Championship, and I've had you, now it's 2019, so I'm sorry it took so long. But right now, we're right in the middle of the U.S. Open. We talk tennis all the time. When we see one another, I have this, like, I don't know, I just like tennis. My mom and dad used to walk from Hoboken, New Jersey, up to Hudson County Park in North Bergen to play tennis. My father played tennis on the courts of Stevens Institute of Technology. So I have an affinity for tennis. Tell me, Jeff, when did you fall in love with the game?
It's interesting. I didn't fall in love right away. I was a swimmer first.
Okay.
And I got allergic to chlorine. And I was...
That's not good.
It's not good, yeah. I was swimming from age 7 to a little over 12 every day.
Wow.
And then...
When did you realize chlorine was no good for you?
I mean, I kept getting bronchitis. I went to the doctor over and over, and he was like, you know what? This is affecting your sinuses, and you can't swim anymore.
It's time to get out of the pool.
Time to get out of the pool. And so the swim club I belonged to, like, you either were a tennis player or a swimmer.
Right.
And my parents were like, well, you're not going to sit around with us, so now you're a tennis player.
Good for you. Now, is that where we spoke on the way over, is that where you met Pete, the late, great Peter Tierney, at that club, or no?
Actually, that was a different club. I met him at the Summit Tennis Club.
Yes.
I was, like, director of tennis there for a while.
Yes.
And he was a member. His daughters played there.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it's a very small world. And, Kenny, you remember having Peter Tierney, who passed, was one of the great basketball alums
of course,
from Summit. And we miss him dearly, but the game, to me, I'm a squash player. We've talked about it. I'm infatuated. When I'm not playing golf in the winter, if someone called me at midnight, I'd go play squash. So I love the racket game. So are you now, as a coach, are you still addicted to the game? What kind of a player were you? Tell me about you and tennis in regards to your acumen and just how much you love it and where you stand with the game.
So, definitely love it. Unfortunately, I don't get to play as much as I used to.
Right.
I'm a lefty. I played lefty in high school, college, the few tournaments that I played after college. And then, unfortunately, I had an injury to my left hand, and I wound up switching hands. So, when you ask me how I play, when I was lefty, I was a serve and volleyer. I tried to play, like, this is a different era. To play like Mac.
Sure.
And then, when I had to switch hands and play righty,
You were attacking.
Oh, no, I was just a grinder, and I'd stay like 40 feet behind the baseline and
miss.
Yeah. Because I didn't have the skill set with my right hand, but I could still run. I knew actually more about the game then than I did when I was just a crazy lefty.
I've never heard. I mean, I don't know a lot of the intricacies of tennis, but to play with both, I mean, you have to have some talent to be able to play with either hand.
Yeah, I was lucky in the sense that I always hit a two-handed backhand. So the racket was in my right hand, and I was teaching, and I didn't know that it was going to be an injury that wouldn't get better.
Sure.
So I was teaching, and the ball would come back, and I would just hit it with my right hand, and I kept playing righty over time.
Sure.
And, you know.
That's wild. Because The other thing is, I don't see does any professional or college players hit the ball with two hands anymore?
There's a couple people that have done it. I mean, there was Luke Jensen, who won the French Open with his brother. He served lefty and righty.
Wow.
Yeah. Both big, like 120 plus miles an hour. Jeez. With both hands.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
That's nuts. I've never heard. But now I'm talking about the backhand with both hands. Like,
oh, like Monica Seles?
Yeah. Like, no one does that anymore, do they?
It's rare. I mean, you see it every once in a while.
Right.
But, I mean, nobody really of a high level is doing that anymore. Like, the last guy was Fabrice Santoro.
Right.
Frenchman.
It's a while ago.
Long time ago, yeah.
Tell me about when you were a young boy, now you switched from swimming to tennis. Who were your idols? Who did you look up to and say, oh, man, like, you know, you're a younger guy. What time period were you into the game, and who were the people that you looked up to on the tennis court?
Connors and McEnroe.
Oh, God. How good was that?
That was the golden era.
That was the golden era.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, Kenny, you're too young, but it was like watching athletics. It was watching tennis, but it was a soap opera. It was a drama. It was people in the crowd. There was and the U.S. Open then was just, and it still is now, it's every man's game. They're just people that were McEnroe guys, that are Connors guys, Borg, and oh man, that was special. Pat Summerall, the great late football announcer, was doing the color for it and play by play or what have you, and it was theater, wasn't it?
It was. That was when tennis was more into the mainstream of just,
right,
you know, Page Six, New York Post, like it transcended the sport, basically.
Yes, you would read about it, and average Joe knew what was going
on. Exactly, they knew. Yeah,
and now that's not the case. Now it's more secular. It's more the people that are into tennis are into tennis. Is that the perception that I have? And is that the truth?
Yeah, that's accurate. Yeah.
Who were, other than, we can get back to McEnroe and Connors, who were like Vitas Gerulaitis?
Yeah, he was awesome.
He was great. Tell me about those guys. Give me those names, man.
I mean, Vitas Gerulaitis was probably one of the most talented players ever. Never got enough credit for it.
I know. But see, I got some knowledge on it. Vitas.
Yep. I mean,
Who else? Give me some other guys that would compete against those in that.
I mean,
now Borg. When did he retire? At what age?
Like 27.
And then what? 26. Why did he retire? Because he was
burnout. I mean,
he
burnout
was burnt out at 27 years old.
And
it's like
is,
Andrew Luck, Kenny. It's crazy.
Plus McEnroe. I mean, McEnroe came on, and Borg didn't really have an answer for what McEnroe was able to do to him.
Really?
The leftiness. Yeah. You know, it was just, if Borg kept playing, he would keep losing to McEnroe at that point.
It was just a bad matchup.
It's kind of like Rafa and Federer.
It's like the Mets and the Braves. We can't beat the Braves.
Yeah. Yep.
Tell me about women's tennis. Tell me about, like, when did you, like, maybe when you're a tennis player, and I don't want to be sexist here, and I don't want to put you in a bad spot, because I know you coach men and women, but at that time, just put yourself back to being a young teenager, were you watching women's tennis, or was it like, I'm not watching Chrissy Everett Lloyd, or?
No, I watched. Yeah. I watched, yeah. I mean, her, like, her rivalry with Martina was amazing. That was just so good.
Yeah.
I mean, played so many times. They played almost 100 times, I think.
Martina Navratilova was maybe, from my eyes, I know like Althea Gibson, they just dedicated a tremendous trophy. But to witness when I was a young adult, her hit the ball. She was as impressive as any human being, forget about male or female. What a physical specimen.
Yep.
A competitor.
Yeah, she was the best athlete at that time.
Right.
To ever play.
Right.
To play the game, probably going back to Althea Gibson.
Yes.
Yeah. And she took fitness to a new level as well.
Yes.
Like no tennis players worked out or as hard.
No, you know what? You're right.
You know? I mean, she transcended the game in that way.
She kind of did what Tiger has done recently to the bodies
yeah.
and the physicality of golfers. You know, today now all these golfers now go right into the truck and get workout, but she was ahead of her time. Before that, Billy, do you remember Billie Jean King playing?
Yeah,
are you?
I do. Okay, I remember so her match against Bobby Riggs at
you
the
do.
Astrodome. Yeah.
Oh, Kenny. I watched. Did you watch the movie?
I saw the movie, yeah.
Kenny, what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was fascinating.
But really it wasn't. Did. I didn't think. Now, I'm not a tennis guy. But I didn't. It was fascinating. I agree.
Yeah, an interesting story for
but,
sure.
And a totally interesting story. But I didn't think the reality of the hitting in the games were great.
I mean, honestly, I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it?
I didn't see it.
Okay, no. That's okay.
Yeah, the tennis play wasn't
the
all
tennis
that
play was just
yeah,
a little
a
bit hokey.
Yeah, you see a football really? Movie or a basketball movie and you buy into
and
it
you
because
buy in.
The actors, you know,
right.
were
like
good
blue
at it.
Chips.
Sure.
You had like real players playing it, but these were two actors kind of hitting it, and it was just, and for me, in any kind of sports movie, you have to, the athleticism in the movie's got to be for real.
Right.
To legitimize the movie itself.
I didn't feel that way about biopics with singers. You
yes.
know, if the actor's not actually singing the song,
come on, man.
I'm not into it.
Not into it. Let's talk about our teams, the FDU Knights, man. I love your kids, and your kids are like, I'm on campus and I say hello just about everybody. It's probably a fault of mine, but today we almost ran over one of your players
yep.
on campus. Kid from Romania, Kenny. He's walking. He's got headphones on. He's walking down the middle of the road. It's like, come on, man.
It's a dangerous campus to drive on, especially when trying to get to the radio station.
Because it's impossible.
We have a parking spot that's on
yeah.
campus,
yeah.
and it's not only a driveway, but it's a walkway.
It's a walkway
walk
driveway. But your guys and gals are all very, number one, they're predominantly international.
Yep.
They're predominantly really bright, affable, just well-spoken. You recruit really good people, and I think that's the genesis of success, which you've had a ton of. Tell me about your players. Brag about your men's and women's
players. You know what? You're right. Like, I'm very lucky. They're all good kids.
Yes.
99% of the time, they're super responsible.
Right.
They're thoughtful.
Right.
They are smart, you know. I mean, the women got the highest GPA 3 years in a row. I think the guys
yes.
won it a couple years in a row.
Oh, yeah. No, they're...
So, yeah.
It has a lot to do with, I think, not only you recruiting good people and good students, but to be honest with you, the education in international countries at a younger age is quite honestly better than it is in this United States.
Yeah.
And they're well-equipped, and they come over, and they're not only hitting the ball really hard, they're hitting the books really hard as well. Is that...
Yeah,
fairly
they have
accurate.
Most of them have very good study habits, like work
exactly.
ethic.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. We're here. Even my son is a very good student, but it's like, and I don't push him, but he's getting this done late in the game, but he gets it done, you know, and as opposed to, you know, cracking it as early as possible. So for you, do you get on a plane every year and just scour Eastern Europe, or how do you actually get your players, Jeff?
You know, I haven't gotten on a plane yet, eventually, but it's pretty much just the internet, YouTube, a lot of agencies, a lot of Skype calls.
It's a small world.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm fortunate I've been doing this a while, so I know a decent amount of coaches in different parts of the world where I can kind of get references.
Yes.
But, yeah, I haven't gotten on a plane yet.
So you just do it over the phone, over the internet, and just old-fashioned, you get after it.
Yeah, I mean, I travel in the U.S.
Right.
A lot of the showcases and the agencies from other parts of the world, they're just bringing kids over here now to our tournaments. So
good,
like,
for you.
It's
yeah.
good. Like, I was at a showcase at Rice in Houston, and there were, like, at least 25 international kids right there.
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because to be going, you've got two sisters from
yep.
Romania, Tatiana and Patty, right?
Yep.
I mean, so just let's use them as an example. How did you recruit them? Was it a website, or was it a tournament that you saw them in, or word of mouth? How did you recruit them to Fairleigh Dickinson?
They're an interesting story. So when I took over, I started in February of 2016.
Yes.
And they were the only recruits in the entire pipeline. And I walked into Mensa's office, my supervisor,
yeah,
and
sure,
he was
Mensa.
Like, Mensa. Turned his computer around and he's like, what do you want to do with these two? I was on the job like 2 weeks. And I'm right. like, I don't know. What do you mean? He's like, well, they're accepted. And, you know, do you want to make them an offer or not? And I'm sitting in his office looking at their YouTube video. And I'm looking at the entire email conversation from the previous coach.
Yes.
And I find out that they actually took the SATs four times. Yeah, because every time they got a higher score, like, they got more academic money. And I'm like, anyone who could take the SAT four times,
I want them.
Especially, like, over there where there's no, like, prep class. I mean, right. they did this on their own.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Wow, very yeah. impressive.
So, and then the video was good.
And they can play.
Yeah, they could play. So, I was like, yep, we'll take them.
Coaching women and that game, it's a different game than the men's game. How is it easy to put your hat on and take it off and coach both males and females?
I've never had one team. I've all, like, my previous gig
yes.
at Drew University, I had both men and women. That was for 9 years. So I'm used to it. I can take the hat off and on pretty quick.
That's cool. So you were at Drew University before here.
Yeah.
And you were the Landmark Conference Coach of the Year in 2010 and 2011. And I am speaking to Jeff Brandis, the head men's and women's tennis coach here at Fairleigh Dickinson University. Tell me, I ask most coaches this, I don't want to get you in trouble. Like, down the road, you know, you're at Fairleigh Dickinson University, you're the men's and women's tennis coach. A pro coach is an aspiration, a Big Five coach aspiration, or what do you look at when you look at the game and your career and where you are now and where you're going?
I mean, a pro coach is probably one of the most difficult jobs in the world.
Because it looks like it.
The player is your boss.
Right.
But yet as the coach, you have to a lot of times tell them things they don't want to hear.
They don't want to hear, sure.
You know, and that's just a challenging dynamic in general.
No, I see it. And then here's the deal that you got to give me. And I remember watching... we have to talk about Serena
yeah.
and that match last year in the U.S. Open was like the coach was giving her, you can't coach. Explain the rule to me. It just was very,
sure.
that whole match was nuts.
It was nuts.
That was like good drama because if you're not a real like firm, longtime lover of tennis, you want to see different stuff because it's more exciting. And
mm-hmm.
Serena's coach was supposedly giving her
hand signals,
which is illegal. She said, you're not calling me a cheater. And then the next thing you know, that thing just kind of spun out of control. Yep.
It did, very fast too.
Yes.
Yeah. So coaching
what
is illegal.
What can you do? Is it in college? Is it illegal or legal in
it's
college?
Legal.
It's
like,
legal.
Like, we can literally coach after every point as long as we don't disrupt the flow
now
of play.
Now, what's coaching? Holler and saying, okay, hit it low, hit it high. You know,
yeah, any of that.
Get to the net. You can say whatever you want in college.
You can say whatever you want as long as it's in between points and it's not affecting the, you know, the tempo of the match.
And why is it illegal in your opinion in professional tennis? Why do they not want it in professional tennis?
So pro tennis has always been, it's one-on-one. Like, you're gotcha. Out there all by yourself.
Gotcha.
You got a problem solved. You got to figure it out. That's what makes it special.
Right.
And, like, now the talk is because they can't prevent coaching. They really can't prevent it unless you're going to tell the coaches that they have to, like, go outside the stadium.
Not
yeah.
be there, yeah.
Right, sure. Or you put a camera on them.
Right.
Like, that's an idea. Just put a camera on the coaching box because every player, their coaches are in a certain spot.
No, and they know where they are.
Mm-hmm. Put a camera on them, and if you see them giving signals or something like that, then
yeah.
you can penalize the player. But
right.
right now, the argument is a lot of people are saying, well, all the other sports, you're allowed to have coaching.
Right.
And I'm like, so what? Who cares about the other sports?
No, this is
tennis.
Yeah, this is tennis.
This is tennis. Problem solve. Figure it out. And it's interesting. The slams are split. So the U.S. Open wants coaching. The Australian Open wants coaching. Wimbledon and the French Open do not want coaching.
The traditionalists, I would imagine.
Yeah. And it's odd because the women's tour outside the Grand Slams
sure.
allows coaching. Once per set, the coach can come down onto the court and talk to the player.
It's like in boxing, you have a ring, and obviously you meet with that person every so often.
Yeah.
Well, you have your caddy in golf.
You have your caddy. You know, every sport, to a certain extent, has coaching.
I can't really think of one that doesn't.
The only thing, you know, just running, like the marathon or some Olympic sports, swimming.
I'm not sure.
But I like you. You're more of a traditionalist. It's kind of like, I got to figure this guy out. If you're a lefty and now if you're hitting a righty and then you're just looking at your coach the whole time, I think as a professional, at some point in time, you need to be prepared by your coach until you walk into the arena would be my – I would not want coaching because then if once you get coaching, you know what happens? The points are going to go longer and the match is going to go longer because there's going to be this interaction and – you're going to be stealing signs. I'm with you. I'm anti-coaching.
Yeah, I am too. And it seems that tennis, professional tennis, is definitely trying to speed up the game.
Yeah.
To you know, attract more.
They have a shot clock now. You get 25 seconds in between points, and they start it like basically right after a point ends.
Sure.
And it helps a little bit.
And then every time you see how fast the serve is, and people get enamored by the 100. What's the highest speed that you've seen on a gun, Jeff?
I mean, Kyrgios was hitting 142, 143.
Yo. That dude is nuts. NK?
NK, yep. He's
crazy. What is up? Now, number one, he's a Greek from Australia, so that presents a problem. But I think he's good for the game. Like, people... My wife was asking me. I told my wife, who's going to be on. She goes, oh, no, you have to find out about. And I'm, tell me the deal. Do people within the game like him? Does he add excitement? Does he make money for other players or just himself? Or is he just flat out nuts and out of control?
I mean, he's a little nuts. I think he's good for the game because there's people that wouldn't normally pay attention to tennis that will because of him. And it'll be on their radar because of him.
Right.
And if you think about it, it's like the WWF. Like, any good story needs a villain.
And, yes. Yes.
There's not much in between. People either like him.
Yeah.
Or they don't.
Tell me about a little forecast. We're going to have fun with this because the U.S. Open ends when now? A week from now? I love it.
September
8th. It goes on forever. So now we're airing on Sunday. So we're right in the middle of it. Give me a forecast, men's and women's. Who do you like?
Who do I like?
Don't be political with me either, here, Joe. You're too cool
for the
to
guys.
Be
it's hard. It's too hard to pick.
He had
against
a shoulder.
Djokovic.
I love Djokovic. Man, he reminds me. I told you, Jerry Lewis. Tell me about the imitations, real quick.
Oh,
he imitates every tennis player.
He can imitate every tennis player. Oh. He imitates. If you Google him imitating Maria Sharapova, you'll laugh. He does a hilarious imitation of Rafa that Rafa did not appreciate.
Now, when you say Rafa, Rafa is short
Rafael
for
Nadal.
Yeah. Now Nadal bores me. Like he's got like the everything matches and he's strong and he plays hard. He owns the Australian. The French owns the French. But I can't root for the dude. I mean, and I respect him. I like Djokovic, man. That guy's got like he's so fit. He gets to think when he comes to the net. He got some things the other night against a kid from Argentina that was like. Not only he gets to it, Jeff, but he makes the next shot make look like seamless.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
He's the best mover in the history of the game.
Ooh.
He's special. Because
there's
a lot of guys that move well.
I love tennis. I'm getting excited about tennis, Kenny. Tennis?
Practice?
I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
I was just going to say, the thing that makes him special also is not just his movement, but... He can absorb pace and counter it better than anybody.
So who do you like in the men?
Him.
Who do you like in the women?
You know what? Madison Keys.
Now, where is she from?
She's from the U.S.
Okay.
She was in the finals of the U.S. Open.
So Serena's not going to win it?
I don't think so. I mean, she could because she's Serena.
Yeah, she's
She can. But it's just tough. I mean, it's seven matches.
How many matches do the Knights have this fall?
We got a few tournaments and then the ITA regionals, on each side.
When I go back to the office, I'm going to check the schedule and you're going to see me out there.
All right.
With my staff and some players. And I'm not going to coach. Okay. I'm going to let you call. I'm going to watch you coach. But I just really glad that we had you on today. I think the people on our campus, off our campus, this goes all over New York City. We share airwaves. Love tennis, and we just need to let people know we've got a great tennis coach, great tennis players, men and women. And Jeff, I really respect you and appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And I know there's no announcing in tennis anymore, but I'd offer my services if I wasn't going to butcher the names of your players.
We'll talk about maybe taking tennis to another level here on our medium. But right now, our first step, our first serve was in. We hit it hard, and we appreciate the ace that Jeff Brandis brought today on the Greg Herrenda Show.
Hello there. This is Jeff Brandis, the head tennis coach at Fairleigh Dickinson. You are listening to the Greg Herrenda Show at WFDU. And I'm waiting.